it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, freedom, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We let what's left of my hair down. Loosen my non-existent tie, because I'm working on radio. What do I need a tie for? And get deep into the issues of the day. And folks, if you're tired of the Sandra Bland story, turn off now, because I'm staying on it. Because God knows the freaking networks won't. What an abomination of journalism occurred today, folks. Oh, I'm red hot about this. So I'm following Twitter, as I'm wont to do, whenever there's a big hashtag up. I get my news a lot of times first from Twitter. It's better than CNN. It's better than any cable channel out there. Twitter will tell you what's happening immediately. We have to separate some of the wheat from the chaff, but you can get there. So Twitter lets me know that, oh, the assistant DA is doing a press conference on the autopsy results live at noon, my time, right? Now, curse me as a host for not recording the damn thing. I was sitting right in front of the recording computer listening to it. All I had to do was push record, for God's sake. Never did it. But listen to the whole thing, and I did a lot of live tweeting on it. So I'm watching this, and at one point, so the guy, the DA gives his initial presentation and then says, all right, now we're going to move all these mics so we can present the photos, the autopsy photos to the press. And that's when the feed I was watching cut out, one of the Houston news stations, right? So I scrambled and Googled and found another Houston news station that was still covering it. Now, the other station that was covering it focused on the DA. It didn't show the photos. And I can understand that, right? I can understand not wanting to live broadcast graphic photos of a dead woman. I understand that. But he described what the photos were and talked about the ligature marks and no defensive wounds to the hands and not consistent with a violent struggle, right? We'll get to that in a second, BK. So he went all through this and was watching this. And I'm live tweeting and I'm following my Twitter feed when I get a tweet from the guys at the Weed blog saying Radical Russ doing a great job live tweeting this after MSNBC, CNN, and I can't remember who else, dropped the feed. I'm like, what? And so I start looking around Twitter and more people are tweeting about this, about MSNBC and CNN were live broadcasting this and they cut away for Donald Trump. They cut away for Donald Trump. For God's sake, CNN, MSNBC, whoever it is. I don't know all of it. I wasn't watching your feed, so I don't know. But for shame. Oh, my God. It's frustrating sometimes. And that's why we do what we do here. Is because if we have to be the media now. There's a big brother out there. We need to be little brother. And the technology exists, and it's cost effective enough that anyone who wants to be a journalist can. And that's upsetting power structures. And that's why part of why we keep doing this. But watching this, before he made his announcement, he spoke to the media, and this is what the assistant DA told the media about Sandra Bland's toxicology report.
Now, there have been reports in the media that marijuana was found in Ms. Bland's system, and I can confirm that. That was a presumptive positive test for marijuana that was found in her blood at the time of her death. We need confirmatory testing to get quantitations of the amounts of active marijuana in her system, if any, and inactive marijuana metabolites in her system, if any. Once we receive those quantifications and verify them through gas chromatography and other scientific methods, then we can give a more concrete statement on approximately when that marijuana was ingested and what role, if any, it may have played in her death.
I call bullshit. I call bullshit on this, man. All right, so when we come back from break, we're going to dig a little deeper into this. Because I wrote up a big article for this in Marijuana Politics. Because this is deeper. I mean, there's this little marijuana connection they're trying to make, where Sandra Bland might have had marijuana in her system, enough to trigger the presumptive test. And these presumptive tests in most jurisdictions trigger at 1 or 2 nanograms per milliliter of active THC in blood. 1 or 2. Right. I think I could trigger 1 or 2 nanograms a week after abstinence. I think that that might be possible for me and some of the more chronic consumers that I know. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how the DA kept mentioning it wasn't a struggle and why I think that doesn't matter. Stick around.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Expand your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org.
This is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Thank you. to check it, y'all. Back it, y'all. These lifestyles, they can crack you back and make you fall. Take back, we boom and drop this.
Welcome back, everyone. That's music from the Dirtball. Lifestyles coming at you. Dirtball out of Bend, Oregon. Deschutes County. Oh, no, he's not from Deschutes. He's from Crook County. Where is he from? I don't remember. Anyway, Dirtball for you. One of my favorite hip-hop performers these days. We're talking about the Sandra Bland case. It's gained national attention, although not as much as Donald Trump. But it's gained some national attention because of the questions surrounding this case that just make it very, very strange. You have this woman who had just gotten a job, just a new position at her alma mater, who is excited to move back and go to this new job and have it. And then she gets in this altercation with the officer during which she says, I can't wait to take this to court. Oh, yeah, let's go. I can't wait to take this to court. And then 3 days later, she's dead, having allegedly hanged herself with a large plastic bag from a garbage bin in a cell that's conveniently out of camera range. So there's all sorts of questions about this. There's one picture that I got through my Twitter feed that shows, and it's a screen cap from the Today Show. And it's showing what's alleged to be her cell as it was after her body was removed. And it shows a sour cream and onion bag of Lay's potato chips and a plastic bag, little like, you know, sandwich bag, baggy, with a couple sandwiches in it. Something that looks like either a condom or a wet nap. I'm going to assume it's a wet nap. A styrofoam coffee cup. And then right in the front of the frame there by the Lay's potato chips is one of them small paper pharmaceutical medicine cups. You know what I'm talking about? When you're at like an institution of some sort and they give you the little paper cup. It's got the couple pills in it. There's one of those sitting there. So what's up with that? What was in the little paper cup? So far, we do not know what was in the little paper cup. Now, in cross-examination from the media today, as they were asking about the marijuana that he says there was a significant amount of, but you can't know how significant until you actually do the gas chromatography, but they were asking, did you detect any other drugs? Because for one, they were asking about this epilepsy drug that she indicated on a form that she takes. Did you find any of the epilepsy drug? And he says, well, no, at this level, we don't test for that. We don't know. Oh, I see. So were there any other drugs? Well, we don't know. Oh, I see. So what was in the tiny cup? And there was something about how the DA kept going off about how the evidence showed this was not a violent struggle. Someone who's violently asphyxiated breaks this sort of bone in their neck. Someone who's violently asphyxiated, there's these little pox on their mouth and their eyelids that aren't there. Someone who's violently asphyxiated has these defensive wounds on their hands, etc. And I kept thinking to myself, who alleged anything about a violent asphyxiation? Person doesn't have to be awake for you to murder them, do they? That's what I'm curious about. So here we have a woman who died an hour before she could have gotten out on bail after spending a whole 72 hours in jail. Maybe the 3 days just weighed on her, right? The 3 days made her so depressed because she was still under the influence of marijuana, the significant amount that she had somehow taken such a significant amount of marijuana that she was still mentally affected and her mood altered by it 3 days later in the jail cell, yet was able to drive that car just fine in the dash cam video. Drove it perfectly fine aside from not signaling when she made a perfect lane change. She didn't weave or anything. She was driving great. So what? She had smoked it prior to that and was driving fine? Or she had it on her and ate it somewhere along the line before she was taken to the jail and searched? Or she had it on her person And they didn't find it during the search, and then she managed to consume it at some point when she was in jail. And during this 72-hour period, as the jailers are supposed to be doing face checks, you know, looking and seeing the face of the person that you're checking up on once an hour, don't detect any of this significant amount of marijuana in her system that's making her suicidally depressed. And as was mentioned in one media report, they spoke to the jailer in the video, who at 7 a.m. or 7 a.m.-ish was supposedly the last one to speak to her alive. You said he had this little conversation with that with her saying, yeah, you're not eating much. And she said, yeah, I'm not hungry. And he says something like, well, you better eat something. You're about as big as a minute. You know, a little Texas saying, you're as big as a minute. And she laughed, apparently. So at 7 a.m., she seems to be in a jovial mood and making a little half-assed joke with the jailer at 7 a.m. They say at about 7:55 a.m., about 8 a.m., she made a call, an intercom call, right, to the station or whatever it is they call it, to ask about how she could go about making a phone call. So apparently she wasn't super high at that time. At least she was in enough control of her faculties to push the button and talk reasonably on the intercom. But by 9 a.m., the female officer finds her slumped over, hanged by a plastic bag twisted into a ligature and suspended from a partition in the jail that's 5 foot tall and she's 6 foot tall. Okay, sure, that's how it happened. And there's people out there who hear this or see the video, the dash cam video, and they say things like, well, if she'd have just done what the cop said, if she just put the cigarette out, she's just more polite. And yeah, you can say that, I suppose. I guess you could also say if the cute girl in the miniskirt was wearing a burqa, she wouldn't have got raped. But that's not right, is it? And it's not right to blame the victim in this case either. As many people have pointed out, the professional in that encounter was the police officer. And the police officers are supposed to protect and serve and to de-escalate situations, not escalate them. He had already had a warning written out when he was talking to her. And he had mentioned that as he had her on the ground and she was fighting. He said, this was just going to be a warning. It was going to be a warning. There's a couple times where he says that. So he had already had it in his mind to give her a warning when he talked to her and told her to put the cigarette out. And then she asked or basically said, you can't tell me to put my cigarette out in my own car, which is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. It is not a lawful order to tell someone to put their cigarette out in their car. Now, to get out of the car is a lawful order. She did disobey that lawful order. Under Texas law, you can be ordered out of the car and you can be arrested. And even if your arrest wasn't lawful, you cannot resist that arrest. That's Texas law. So, yeah, she messed up there. But it never should have got to the part of him telling her to get out of the car in the first place. At the point which she responds to him asking to put the cigarette out by saying, you can't tell me to do that. If you want to retaliate, the retaliation is, all right, ma'am, I was going to write you a ticket. I was going to give you a warning, but now I'm going to give you a ticket. And you write her the ticket, and the encounter's over. But no, that's, of course, not what happened. So there's all sorts of conspiracy theory going out there at this point. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So stay tuned. We're going to take our little 20 after break. And when we come back from the 20 after break, we'll have Chuck Diesel joining us for our Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tunes. And then we'll start investigating some of these conspiracy theories. Was she killed in jail, perhaps? Did she die on her way to the jail and they're trying to cover it up? Was she dosed with marijuana, perhaps, to knock her out or make her compliant enough to be strangled? These are the questions. We'll take a look at them when we come back.
Maybe we should start at 420, right? Marijuana reference.
Well, this would be the perfect time for it, Homer, because it's 420 right here in legal Potland, Oregon. got Chuck Diesel waiting on the line. We'll come back with some Daily Toker tunes, take our mind off of the terrible, horrific story for a little bit, and then we dive right back into it when we come back.
Twenty Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time to get groovy on our Groovin' Thursday. We got Chuck Diesel waiting for us. How you doing, Chuck?
Great. How are you, Russ?
I'm pretty fired up, actually. I need something to get groovy on here, so I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, you know, I don't have much of a upbeat tune today. It's pretty serious, but I think it actually kind of goes along with what you're talking about. It's called Brave. It's by Rez Simone, the Seattle area hip hop artist, and he doesn't shy away from a lot of the stuff he's dealt with in his life. So he'll kind of dive into that, but yeah, man, otherwise everything's good on my end.
Far out. Now, just to let you know, next Wednesday and Thursday and Friday will be off. Wednesday and Thursday will be at the Cannabis Creative Conference, and while I'm at Cannabis Creative Conference, the studio here may be down as well, upgrading to Windows 10. Oh my god. I'm terrified.
I know. It seems like Windows gets it right about every third time. I'll expose my inner nerd here. And Vista was terrible. XP was solid.
You know, I've had a long-standing theory.
The latest good operating system.
Yeah, I've had a long-standing theory that Microsoft operating systems and Star Trek movies are only good every other one.
There you go. Exactly.
So we'll cross our fingers on
exactly.
This one.
No, you nailed it. I mean, I haven't had nothing but problems with everything but Windows 7 and but XP.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Best of luck to you.
Well, thank you so much. We'll see how things work out. But so you got the week off next week as far as the show goes, because we'll be out there at the event.
Yeah. Have you looked at any of the like the speaking tracks for that conference. I was pretty curious about it.
I'll be on one of the panels, I think, discussing HB 3400, the new laws here for marijuana in Oregon. But I haven't looked at all the people that are speaking. All right. Well, check it out at CannabisCreativeConference.com. And Chuck Diesel, thanks for joining us. And also, folks, don't forget, we got a replay of last week's Big Daddy Fink Funky Roller Rink coming up at 8 p.m. So you can get some funk on at 8. But right now, let's get some Raz Simone happening, some hip-hop from the Pacific Northwest. This is Raz Simone with Brave.
Watch what you say, then watch what you hear. Cause niggas will cut the earlobe off of your ear. Just because you could go talking to peers, a witness in court to add on to their years. The scariest dudes are the ones who have fear. They get nervous and scared and they never think clear. They think deep conversations are better with beer. I seldomly drink and I never did fear. Wait, run that back. Cause these criminals are still snitching and these niggas are still scared. Bitch nigga. Watch what you say, then watch what you hear. Cause niggas will cut the earlobe off of your ear. Just because you could go talking to peers, a witness in court to add on to their years. The scariest dudes are the ones who have fear. They get nervous and scared and they never think clear. They think deep conversations are better with beer. I seldomly drink and I never did fear. God bless the child at peace, but bet he can't sleep at night. I know young little niggas that sell dope but can't read or write. Enrolled in a slow class, just moving at the speed of light. We looked to the angels for help, but found that the demons can fly. That's when a nigga had to leave the light. Dark side, I used the force. I've seen evil, but I never seen Jesus. Like I never seen a unicorn. Disbelief, what is faith? Should I just believe what these books say? No sleep cause I lay with these crooks lay. A dozen bad bitches on a good day. Feet stretched, they looking at us cause we next. Don't worry about your bitch boy, she's too shallow for this deep sex. They bite but can't touch me like their hands is on T-Rex. I just got that moolah, put that yada in that B-Rex. Everybody wants to be brave, living life with no fear. We try not to be afraid, but everyone's a little scared. Everybody wants to be brave, living life with no fear. We try not to be afraid, but everyone's a little scared. Prostitutes getting raped by the cops in suits. The stories you don't hear about, cause they don't make their way onto the news. 6 years ago, six officers put her over and raped her. Now she's calling me up crying cause another officer finger banged her. I heard a square say it's not rape, fuck a prostitute and don't pay her. God please grant me the serenity to not kill all of my enemies. Headshots, no injuries, cause they can come back and remember me. I live life like I'm in a dream, like I can't die and I was given wings. I fly up high to the mountaintop, just so I could duke it out with God. Left, right, jabbed up, cook, followed by a cold uppercut. Lightning thighs and a thunder butt, it's the kryptonite to the God in us. Grab the elephant in the room by the tusk, my life's such, mighty touch. Turn everything to gold like it's rust, make them feel that kick like a mic of drums. Spike the punch, Sprite and rum, I'm the lightest one. I hide the guns, so you never know when your time will come. Just don't cross that line but once. Rather be the silent one in the bunch than the one that dies, speak his mind too much. We ride on, we the people, PF. Living life with no fear. We try not to be afraid, but everyone's a little scared. Everybody wants to be brave. Living life with no fear. We try not to be afraid, but everyone's a little scared.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing.
.buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific for The Human Solution, podcasting at thsintl.org. The purpose of The Human Solution is to support each other through the trials we face as cannabis consumers and spread educational information about cannabis. Check our online listings for The Human Solution with Joe Grumbine from thsintl.org.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
J-Bug, you are so wrong. I know Gramps is your best friend and all, but I'm gonna tell him how you really get down.
She's stepping over that line. She won't make up my makeup, that's fine. Back up and brush out your things before light.
Welcome back, everyone. That's music from J-Bug with Waste of Time. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio on 420radio.org. And remember, we are listener-supported cannabis community radio. We are here not just as a business, but here as a mission. It's always been my mission to help promote the cause of marijuana legalization, the end of drug testing, and the general civil rights of all people. And that's our mission here. And so we're providing this 24-hour stream with shows from all around the country and around the world. You can listen anytime. It's absolutely free. And some great upgrades are coming soon, where we're going to have a better online player. We're going to have a better pop-up page. We're going to have a much, much, much less bandwidth mobile site and mobile player, so that you won't eat up all your data plans trying to listen. You can actually use it like a radio. A lot of that's coming. And we are dedicated to providing the Russ Belville Show First Hour podcast free, the new Herb Thrasher Flower Hour podcast free, and this live stream for free. But we can't do that unless we have your support. We need VIPs to step up, members who can join up with 420 Radio at 420radio.org/donate and just give a small amount. Now, you can do a one-time donation through PayPal, any amount you want, and or you can do a monthly donation. You can become a monthly member. And that donation just comes out of PayPal. And you don't even know it's gone. It just happens once a month. You can cancel it anytime you want. If you're short 1 month, you need the money, you can cancel it and then join back up. And you can do that for as little as $4.20 a month. Now, I'd prefer you did it for $9.99 a month, or $19.99, or $29.99, or $49.99. Whichever one you pick is fine with me. But as little as $4.20 a month, and it really helps. I tell you, folks, there's all sorts of miscellaneous things that we have to pay for, a little, you know, a license for the Dropbox, and we've got to renew this piece of software on the website, and it costs $50, and we got to pay for an ad, and all these little things, plus the big things, the rent on the place that we're broadcasting from, the bandwidth, the internet cost, the electricity. Anything you can do to help, we'd really appreciate it. Check out 420radio.org/donate. All right, like I've been doing the past couple of days, I'm digging deep into this Sandra Bland case, and it's just so fishy. It's so fishy here. One of the things that people have been pointing to is her mugshot. Now, it's fascinating because the mugshot has her in the orange jumper and she looks very sullen, right? Her eyes kind of just dead, just a dead-eyed stare. And when you look at the photo, the background in the photo of this mugshot photo is a nondescript flat kind of gray background. And then people on the net have dug up some other mugshot photos from the same jail. And in these other mugshot photos, the background is kind of a tan beige and it's a cinder block, right? So you can see the lines of the cinder block walls, right? And then as you dig into this photo a little deeper, she has her hair done in the little dreads, little thin dreads, little tiny ones, right? And you start looking at these dreadlocks and they're sticking not like out from her head, like sideways, but it's almost like they're hanging backwards from her head. And not only hanging backwards from her head, but they appear to be touching the background with a strange shadow underneath one of them. And then you look at the shadows on her and there's no shadow on her face like you would expect if a light was over your head. It's more like the light is right in her face. But if you look at the other mugshots of the other guys, they've got shadows on the left bottom of their chin and their cheek, indicating a light from above and to the right, at least from the camera's point of view. And then you start looking at the shadow under her neck and under her head, and it appears as though she's either leaning against this gray background or she's lying down on a gray background with someone taking a photo from above her. This is where it gets weird, because then we start comparing it to pictures of Sandra Bland when she was alive. And there's a lot of pictures of her from Facebook, and she's very photogenic. She knows how to take a picture. She looks right in the lens, chin slightly tilted down. But in this booking photo, her chin is up and her shoulders are flat, again, like someone who's laying down. You can see up her nose, where in most of her other photos, you just see her nose straight on. Some people are thinking she's dead in this photo and that they're playing Weekend at Bernie's with her. That they lie her down on the floor, which, by the way, the floor in these cells, gray, the walls, cinder block and tan. So that's got people wondering what the hell is going on. Now, it's a good point that there may be different booking areas for female inmates versus male inmates. That may be the case. Maybe she looks sullen because she's defeated and exhausted and upset. All sorts of possible explanations here, I should say. And it's also something you have to worry. This sheriff here in Waller County has had complaints in the past of racism. So we've got that situation going on. The other thing that's suspect to me is that her cell, they had these blocks of cells, right? Where they've got a camera that faces this one set of cells, and then around the corner is another set of cells that abut them. She was put in the cell around the corner out of the camera's view, even though there is an empty cell right there smack dab in the frame. Now, the cameras in the video are motion sensor cameras, so they stop when there's no motion, they start when there's motion. So there's a lot of gaps in the video, but they do seem to start up as soon as there's someone wandering down that hallway. But at the end of that hallway, there's an exit door. And I believe that you could open that exit door slowly and keep it open and slip from there to where her cell is without triggering any of the motion cameras. I think you could probably pull that off. I have these motion sensors for my lights on my patio, and I can't tell you how many times I've had to sit and run my hands and wave my hands above my head before the light will kick on. So maybe there's a way to get in there on her. They show the picture of her cell, and in the cell, it's a cell made for five. It's got two bunk beds and one flatbed. Cell made for five, and there's one of them 55-gallon drums there, a 55-gallon plastic garbage can with those plastic industrial kind of liners. Why is there a 55-gallon trash can in the jail cell of a, where there's one woman being kept? And the other questions here is, as she was in the intake, she indicated that she didn't have any suicidal thoughts or was thinking of hurting or killing herself, but she also indicated that she had had suicidal ideation in the past and had tried to kill herself. So the best possible, like most charitable reading I can give of this, if everything the cops say is true and everything the autopsy says is true, is that this is a jail that for no, this is a system that for no reason arrested a woman, for no good reason arrested her, took her in, put her in a cell, knowing she was suicidal in the past, put her in a cell where she couldn't be seen by the camera. Now, the jail has also been cited for not doing all their appropriate face checks. Face checks are when the cop, the guard has to look at the face of the prisoner, right? So they've been cited for not doing enough face checks, not properly doing their face checks. But if they had suspected that she had had mental health problems, the first step they're supposed to do is contact for a mental health evaluation. That never happened. So the best possible reading of this is that these jailers allowed someone who was already mentally unstable or already prone to suicide, put her in a cell where she couldn't be seen by cameras, allowed her access to something that she could commit suicide with, and somehow she was high as hell when she did it. That's their best defense. This reminds me of the Kobe Bryant case. I'm not a rapist, I'm a cheater. That's your defense? Your defense is that you let this woman kill herself in the jail cell because she was really depressed. And somehow, if you believe their timeline, they checked on her at 7 a.m. on Monday, and she's alive and jovial. She makes the intercom call at 8 in the morning, or close to it, and they find her dead at 9. So she manages to commit suicide in the little 1 hour, 8 to 9 a.m. Monday window, after having been in jail since Friday evening, like 5 p.m.-ish. So all Friday night, all through Saturday and Saturday night, all through Sunday and Sunday night, wakes up the next morning on Monday. Now, why is she in jail for 3 days? She had left a message to one of her friends on Saturday talking about how the bond for her to get out of jail was $5,000. The woman didn't signal when making a lane change. And she was making the lane change because the cop was coming screaming up behind her after it had made a U-turn when it saw her. Why did it originally make the U-turn? She had pulled up to a stop sign and did one of those little slight rolling stops. No, she had stopped for the most part, but didn't completely stop and then continued on. So he makes the U-turn. He follows her, blazes a trail up behind her, and then this is before he turns on any sirens or anything, just blazes up behind her. Seeing him come up quick, she pulls over to the side. That's when she didn't signal. That's when he pulls her over. So she's in jail for not signaling when she changes lanes when a cop then pulls her over. And then when she refuses to put her cigarette out, he then orders her out of the car for the crime of contempt of cop by black woman. And then we take her to jail, and she's got a $5,000 bail for that? This is the underside that of the criminal justice system more people need to know about. John Oliver did a great piece on bail, where it basically it makes it so poor people don't get the same criminal justice treatment as rich people. Rich person gets that in that same situation. They call someone, they got $500, they pay it to the bail bondsman, they're out. And I've actually read tweets and comments from people saying, well, why didn't she just bail out? Why didn't her family just put the $500 together and get her out? You know how hard $500 is for some people to put together? So she can't bail out. And then in a lot of places, you can't bail out on the weekend. If they bust you on a Friday, you're stuck. And that seems to me what's happened here with Sandra is she was bust on a Friday. She's stuck Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So Monday comes around. That would be the next day that you could call your family, that they may have had the whole weekend to gather up $500. This is now the Monday morning. It's your chance to start getting the bail thing taken care of and get out of jail. And that's when she decides to kill herself. Yeah, right. None of this passes the smell test.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
It's always 420 on your 24-hour cannabis community radio, 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Señoras y señores, directamente de Chicago, Illinois, los marihuanos. ¡Aplauso, aplauso!
I guess it's time to get high.
It's time to get high.
It's time to get high.
I said it's time to get high.
I said it's time to get high.
I said it's time to get high.
It's time to get high.
Yeah.
It's time to get high.
Roll off the spliff, I shoot the gift.
All right, that's Pony Boy and Los Marihuanos with Time to Get High. I love those guys. I'll probably see him at Seattle Hemp Fest. That's coming up. August, what is it, 15th, 16th, 17th? Yeah, 14th, 15th, 16th coming up. We'll be up there at Seattle Hemp Fest as well. Me and Herb Thrasher have all sorts of recorded stuff to bring to you the following week. I'll be speaking on numerous stages. I usually speak on all of them. Not at once, but... Which is fun because there's a long distance between them. The Seattle Hemp Fest is like a 1.6 mile park filled shoulder to shoulder with 160,000 pot smokers. It's something to be beheld. You got to try it once in your life. Seattle Hemp Fest happening next 3-4 weeks from now, August 14, 15, 16. All right, so returning to the Sandra Bland story. The Dallas for Change people tweeted out that they tested a Waller County trash bag. They got one of those white trash bags that you saw in the picture and tied it to a fence and tested it, and it ripped when they tried to hang a heavy weight from it. Now, I've also heard some report that the trash bag that was found was a black trash bag, one of those thicker plastic trash bags, not one of the white ones that they put in the garbage can, which... begs the question, why did they put a new liner in the garbage can after she had used the one in it to kill herself? But that's a whole nother bag of worms. But so many questions in this story. And we'll be following the latest Twitter feeds and everything on this, but I just wanted to point out that there's this disturbing sort of pattern going on here. I think we've all addressed it. I think we understand that there's racism afoot in our system here. Because if you believe the police, the agility and creativity of black people when it comes to killing themselves in police custody is remarkable. Just last year, I reported on Victor White's death in Louisiana. He was handcuffed behind his back in the back of a cop's car when he somehow pulled a handgun that police never found when patting him down for the arrest, and then shot himself in the chest from the front right when he was left-handed. And the year before, it was Jesus Huerta in North Carolina, killing himself in much the same way, handcuffed behind the back, shot himself in the front. And the year before that, it was Chavis Carter in Arkansas, shooting himself in the head with an undiscovered gun while handcuffed. And 6 years before that, it was Oliver Neal III in Philadelphia. And I guess, you know, this fear is so palpable for black people that they've got to fight the cops for their guns. That's the other story you get. That's what the cops said Michael Brown did. That's what they said Walter Scott did. If you don't remember, Michael Brown, Ferguson, gunned down in the street when some witnesses said he had his hands up and was surrendering. Walter Scott, the man who the South Carolina, the Charleston video shows unequivocally, was running away from the police and was gunned down, shot in the back. Cops apparently are so afraid of losing their weapons to black people that they resort to choking them until they suffocate, like Eric Garner, or slam them around in the police van until their spine breaks, like Freddie Gray. The other pattern I've noticed is that when black people die in police custody, marijuana always seems to be involved. Oliver Neal was arrested when cops found drugs in his pocket, but somehow they missed the gun he was carrying. Chavis Carter's urine test found a positive result for marijuana. Jesus Huerta had a juvenile record for misdemeanor possession of cannabis. Victor White had marijuana in his pocket, but again, cops never found the gun that he supposedly had on him. Michael Brown was allegedly so high on pot, he was a demon. Eric Garner was out on bail for marijuana possession. Freddie Gray was a seller of marijuana. And apparently, the police were unable to find any connection between Walter Scott and marijuana. Apparently, maybe because he was just gunned down, clearly running away from the cops, and there was no question about it. But bringing up the deceased person's positive toxicology test for marijuana or their previous conviction for marijuana is just a classic media move by the police to discredit the victims of their abuse, and now it's happening with Sandra Bland. And again, let's see if we can go to the clip here from that DA today. See if I can get this to play. Here we go.
Now, there have been reports in the media that marijuana was found in Ms. Bland's system. And I can confirm that. That was a presumptive positive test for marijuana that was found in her blood at the time of her death. We need confirmatory testing to get quantitations of the amounts of active marijuana in her system, if any, and inactive marijuana metabolites in her system, if any. Once we receive those quantifications and verify them through gas chromatography and other scientific methods, then we can give a more concrete statement on approximately when that marijuana was ingested and what role, if any, it may have played in her death.
So that's him telling you that she must have had a significant quantity of marijuana in her system, but it's a presumptive test. And as Paul Armentano told us in the last hour, that these presumptive tests just mean that it's you're positive for pot. They don't know how much. So they're inferring that because it was 3 days after, she must have had a whole bunch because she's still testing positive. But again, Paula Montano tells us, we've shown studies where people go days and days and days without marijuana. They test 3 nanograms on one day and then 10 on the next and then 0 on the next and then 3 on the next. There's no, he's really reaching in what he's saying here, but he's reaching because he's trying to frame it. Trying to frame that with the whole marijuana depression thing. Now, I think, and let me give you the other quote, the Waller County District Attorney, because the other guy is Diapram. He's the assistant DA. The District Attorney, Elton Mathis, the other day had said, looking at the autopsy results in toxicology, it appears she swallowed a large quantity of marijuana or smoked it in jail. So what? She was somehow booked, frisked, and searched, but cops never found this large quantity of marijuana on her person? Who knows? Maybe she formed it in the shape of a gun. Maybe that's why they didn't find it. Now, as to whether or not she died from murder, or if this is a cover-up of an accident, because there's another theory, the idea being she's epileptic. She mentioned that. She also mentioned getting her head slammed on the ground during the arrest and mentioned at one point how she couldn't hear. That was in the audio of the arrest as well. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You get your head trauma combined with loss of hearing, sudden loss of hearing, that can indicate all sorts of damage. Subdural hematoma, I think they call it. And that's the kind of thing where you could feel just fine. No, I don't need to go see the doctor. Everything's cool. And then later you drop dead of it. So could that be what happened? That's a theory. Maybe she dies in custody. They happen upon her in the middle of the night or whatever and go, holy shit, we are so fucked, because they knew who she was. She's an activist, that she's they would have found out who she was, that she was in the Black Lives Matter movement and against police brutality. And that during the arrest, she was saying, oh yeah, let's get it on. I can't wait till this goes to court. And maybe they panic thinking, oh my God, this black woman died in our custody. She just moved here. And the stop was a profile stop in the first place. It was because she's brand new in town. She's got Illinois plates. She's a black woman driving a car on the outskirts of Houston. So they figure, drug running. And so they do a pretext stop and get her pulled over. So maybe they panic. Maybe they find her dead in her cell and then stage everything to make it look like she hanged herself. Maybe that's it. Maybe they dose her up. Remember the picture that's got the little paper cup and nobody knows what was in the paper cup? Maybe they dose her up with a bunch of Marinol. They give her pills saying they're for whatever, and she takes them, and they're really Marinol. They're really heavy dose THC, and so she ends up with a massive dose of THC in her system. She ends up passing out, and then you can frame her and hang her. Now, that's a wild conspiracy theory, but it makes more sense than the official version does so far, that this young woman with everything going for her, and of course they're also trying to highlight the fact that she had the cuts on her arm, indicative of cutting, right? That supposedly that means that she was going to suicide at any moment. But to me, none of this adds up, and I want to see more video. I want to see her booking photos. I want to see the video from intake. I want to see the video of her in the cop car pulling into the garage and her getting out there. And folks, all this stuff is going to come out. It's all going to come out. And like Speed Limit in our chat room says, wouldn't be surprised if we saw 5 indictments before this case is over. We shall see. We shall see. Her name is Sandra Bland, and she did not deserve to die for an improper lane change. That's all the time we got today. Thanks for joining us. Time flies when you legalize. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and views you can use. Tomorrow, we're taking you all the way across the pond to visit with a really good friend of ours, Greg DeHote. Cannabis Cure UK will be on the show with all sorts of great news happening out there in England. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where it's legal, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it.